Bible isn't just a book. It's actually a library. It's history. It's poetry. It's prophecy. It's letters. It's law. It's biography. But more than anything, it's God revealing himself to all of mankind. Did you know the Bible is the best-selling book of all times? And closely linked to that, it's also the book that is the most shoplifted and stolen in all times. Even though in Exodus 20 it says, "Thou shalt not steal." It's written over a period of 1,500 years, 40 different authors. It's written by kings, shepherds, prophets, fishermen, doctors, scholars, and more. It's written on three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. It's in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. It's been translated into over 3,000 different languages, and yet it's one unified story from cover to cover. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the story of God's plan to restore the world, to save sinners and make all things new. Many moral systems in the West and society have been deeply shaped by biblical principles. People who don't believe the Bible often operate within moral principles that are found in it. People that don't read the Bible often quote it. No book has been more loved, more hated, more printed, more banned, more debated. And we have free and unrestricted access to this book. If the Bible has shaped our world so deeply, the real question isn't whether it influenced history, but whether it should still have authority in our lives today. When we go to God's Word, we discover God's heart for us and His plan for our lives. Three points that I want to make this morning are: God's Word guides, God's Word divides, and God's Word provides. So, God's Word guides. You'll know the scripture. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When the psalmist is writing this, he's not thinking of a massive big spotlight, boom, shining into the future. He's really thinking of a small clay lamp with a little flame. That's what he had in mind. We put our own interpretation on that because of like 50 million lumens in the latest and greatest LED torch, but it wasn't about that for the psalmist. He was thinking of this little light. Didn't light the whole road, didn't point out the direction 10 years down the line, but it showed now and the next step. This is important. Many of us want God to tell us exactly what's going to happen in the very, very distant future. But really, his word tells us how we can live faithfully today. Without light, you stumble, you trip and fall in the darkness because you can't see, you walk into danger without knowing it, and spiritually, the same things happen. When we ignore God's word, we don't remove the obstacles, we actually remove the light. The Bible gives direction. It tells us how to walk, how to love, how to forgive, how to speak, and how to live. It doesn't just inform us, which many people use the Bible for. More and more, it guides us. It guides us step by step. The verse says, a lamp for my feet. It's personal. A lamp for my feet and a light for my path. It works for us. But here's the challenge. If the lamp is on a shelf way over there, or if it's not in your hand, well, you can't walk by the light of that lamp. I've heard people say, I don't know what God wants me to do. But often God's already spoken. He's already outlined how we should forgive others, how we should be about honesty, humility, about trust. We're waiting for some brand new light. Meantime, we have the instructions clearly in the light. Ultimately, this verse points us beyond the book, and it points us to the person. Remember, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The written word points us to the living word. The truth of Psalm 119, verse 105 is simple. Open the word, trust the light, take the next steps. when we walk in God's word, we may not see the whole road, but I can guarantee you, you will never walk in darkness. God's word guides. God's word also divides. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Maybe this point isn't as encouraging as I'd hoped it would be. The verse is about how deep God's word goes, not in our anatomy, but within us. It's talking about our soul and spirit, the invisible inner life, and joints and marrow, the innermost physical parts. It's not talking about slicing bits of body into bits. It's pointing out the fact that God's word goes deep, deep, deep. It's not just a surface, it's really deep. Dividing soul and spirit, God's word reaches where our emotions sit, where our motives sit, our hidden thoughts, right to our spiritual condition. It goes deeper than behavior, exposes what's underneath behavior. The word of God shows why we do what we do. Joints and marrow, this imagery points to that which is hidden and protected. It shows that the word reaches where nothing else can. It penetrates below the surface. It exposes what we keep hidden. This is a surgical language. It's not a violent language. It's not a battlefield sword, but it's more about a surgeon's scalpel. And the verse explains itself in the end, saying it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God discerns, it evaluates, it reveals, it exposes. The word of God shows us who we really are before God. Sometimes we go to the doctor and we're looking okay, but we know there's something that's not quite right inside. Outside, you look fine. You're smiling, you're functioning, but inside, something isn't quite right. And the doctor says, we need to take an x-ray. An x-ray doesn't create the problem, but it really reveals the problem. That's what Hebrews 4 verse 12 is telling us. The word of God is like a spiritual x-ray. It doesn't just deal with appearances. It doesn't just look at the motives or the pride or the fears or the unbelief. It shows us the condition of our hearts. An x-ray can feel uncomfortable, not just because where they make you sit is cold, but it can be uncomfortable because it exposes issues within us. Just the same thing happens with the Word of God. It exposes issues within us, not to point out how bad we are, but to point us towards the one that can help us, the one that can heal us, the one that can restore us, the one that can make us whole again. So the Word of God guides us. The Word of God divides us. The Word of God provides. Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We need bread. We need bread to survive. This is talking about food, sustenance. Every word that comes from the mouth of God is something that we also need. Jesus is in the wilderness here, okay? He's been fasting for 40 days. The scripture actually says he was hungry. I thought that was just a given, but it says he was hungry. And then Satan comes to him and says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Now think about this. This temptation is not something that really makes sense. Jesus is starving. Bread is not something that is sinful. Food is not wrong. Hunger is real. But Jesus does respond in an unusual way. "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Bread keeps your body alive. Food sustains you physically. Without it, you become weak, you fade. Eventually, you will actually die. But Jesus is saying that's not all that we are. You are more than a body. You have a soul. And just as your body needs daily nourishment, your soul needs to be nourished. And what is that nourishment? The nourishment is God's word. You can eat three meals a day and you can still be spiritually starving. You can be physically healthy, but spiritually empty. Your fridge can be full, but your heart can be empty. He's teaching us something really profound here. Physical life is not ultimate life. There's a deeper life, a spiritual life that depends on hearing and trusting the voice of God. Notice the word that he uses here, every word that comes from the mouth of God, every word. Can I say, not just your favorite scripture, not just Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Every word. Just think about it for a moment. If you only ate once a week, you would feel weak. You would have a lack of energy. Spiritually, many people believe this is an okay way to go through God. Go and feast on a Sunday once a week, woo, and I'm going to be fine. Jesus resists the evil one not by flexing his divine power. He's fully human. He goes to the Word of God. He trusts Scripture. He shows us that God's Word is not optional. It's essential. Bread keeps you living. God's Word keeps you believing. Bread will sustain your body for a couple of decades. God's Word sustains the soul for eternity. And here's the beautiful thing. The same voice that spoke creation into existence is the voice that speaks life into your heart through Scripture. The very same voice. We don't just need food to survive. We need truth to live. If we neglect God's word, we are trying to live on bread alone. And Jesus is saying that's definitely not enough. God's word guides. God's word provides. God's word divides. And then as I was thinking about God's word divides, I thought, oh, there's that first line that I can't avoid. So now this sermon is 4 points. Sorry, just got longer. But Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this, starts with this, for the word of God is alive and active. No other book makes this claim. The Bible is brought alive in our lives by the Holy Spirit. When you read God's word, the Holy Spirit starts to work in and through the words that you're reading. God's Holy Spirit speaks to us through his holy word. God's word carries life and it carries authority. It's not static, it is dynamic. Many books inform very well, but God's word transforms. A living word speaks across centuries, it speaks across cultures, and it speaks across circumstances. That's why somebody who's young, 13-year-old, somebody who's lost a loved one who might be older, or maybe even a seasoned theologian can go to the exact same scripture and God can speak to each one of those different people in a different way. The Bible is alive because when we open it, it opens us. When you read it, it reads you. So God's word guides. It shows the way. God's word divides. It searches our hearts. God's word provides. It sustains the soul, and it's alive. It's not just a book that we should admire. It's not just a book that we should defend. It's not just a book we carry to church, although that's quite rare nowadays. Now, somebody's going to say, but I've got it on my phone. Hallelujah. It's a living lamp that guides us when life feels dark. It's a living sword that searches us when our hearts grow hard. It's living bread that sustains us when our soul grows weak. If we ignore it, we walk in darkness. If we resist it, we remain unchanged. If we neglect it, we grow spiritually hungry. The word ultimately points us to Jesus. He is the light who guides us. He is the truth who exposes us. He is the bread of life that feeds us. His word is living and active. The question is not, do I own a Bible? The question isn't either, did I steal my Bible? The question is more, is God's word shaping my steps? Is it searching my heart? Is it feeding my soul? We don't drift towards spiritual health. We don't stumble into spiritual maturity. We grow when we walk in the light, submit to the truth, and feed on the word. So be encouraged this week. Open God's word. Trust what it says. Take some next steps in your spiritual growth life. Let it do its work in you. You'll find that God's word is not just a lot of pages filled with black ink, but it's living, active, guiding, dividing, and providing life. Amen.